Now this is Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over. Tuesday night, the 12th of May, 1970. I'm setting up for Berman. He's coming from work. Coming by and have eat supper with us. This is Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over. On Tuesday night, the 12th of May, 1970. Tuesday night, the 12th of May, 1970. And this is Channel 2 over. I'm setting up for Berman. He's coming from work. And coming by over here and eat supper. And Shirley and all of his family is down south in school. Now this is the beginning of Channel 2 over. Tuesday night, the 12th of May, 1970.
Berman, I had a cow that's really been pulling my leg. She had this calf a month ago, or 4 or 5 weeks ago. Her udder always swells when she's freshening, you know. I think she's going to bust. When the calf gets here, you see, he can't hardly get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
On one side. Well, you think, well, I have to milk her out. And they, well, now he'll, if that little black booger will just go ahead now and grow right fast.
Like one more, I believe I've just about wound me up here.
I won't have to do all this milking. Well, I kept having the milk and having milk, and what was happening? I thought that little calf was just like a sheep. He wouldn't take a hold. But that wasn't it. She wouldn't let him. If he got on that side, I found out, she'd just knock him minded.
Hmm.
And he'd try and try again. So I finally, you know, separate them and let him get good and hungry, and then I just hold him and let him work on that side and give her a little feed, and it'd be all right. And you know, she got so she worked me. She got so she'd let him suck on that side as long as her feed lasted.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as it'd give out in the bucket, she'd start wailing away at him.
That's where some old cows are.
Now, have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. I think old cow do the same darn thing.
Now, she was working me. And she'd been doing that a good while.
She knows how to get her some feed.
Yeah. And it was just as plain as she knows on your face.
Anybody come along and say it, well, they say, why don't you just send that cow and calf to the market?
You were a good talking to.
Well, what people used to do is pick up a tube before, you know,
knock them in the head with it.
Knock some sense into them.
Mm-hmm. That's what you feel like doing.
Oh, she's stubborn.
But I found out on the cow that I'm yuck, I won't abuse her a bit. Some other cow or something, if they get ornery or something, I'll just take a tube before and break their neck with it. If I got a milk or twice a day, I'll put up with a lot of foolishness from her.
Yeah. Well, now, you've milked her right smart since you've been over there.
I've been milking nearly all the time since I've been over there.
You save you money?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
And then you got better milk.
It saved me about $60 a month. No, I wouldn't say it cost me, saved me $60 because, not to buy the feed and stuff. My feed usually runs about $20 a month. But we usually get all the upper one. And then I sell a little bit over on the side, too. Not supposed to, but I do it anyhow. And I sell about almost $20 worth a month.
You pay for your fee.
But we use about 2 gallons a day.
Well, now, if you didn't have a cow, you wouldn't use that much.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't go buy 2 gallons a day.
Well, the last month that I kept track of it, we used over $60 worth of milk. One last month we bought milk.
Well, that in itself, Brumman, is something. When you stay away from home, you have to buy milk.
Well, I'm still milking old cow over there. And what we've been doing, I got some of these, what do you call them? Ice chest, and let Shirley take back about 5 gallons of milk with her when she goes.
Oh, yes.
Normally put it in that ice chest and put ice over it, and it keeps.
Well, sure.
Yeah, she could take a couple of that.
Now, I got 3 of them. She takes 3 of them. And you can't put 2 gallons of milk in one of them. So she just take 3 of them with her.
I don't believe I know what that is. That's not that little foam thing.
Yeah. They don't call them dollars on my piece.
Yeah. That'll hold the ice.
Yeah, and I put 2 gallons of milk in there, in jars. I put 2 jars in the milk. I got some gallon jars, and then just pour the ice over top of them.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, the milk will spoil. So we tried that several times. Her taking the milk back up there, and she come to find out that it all be spoiled next morning.
Well,
so it takes about 3 hours to get back up there.
How do you keep it after she gets there?
She's got a refrigerator. She just take it and put it in the refrigerator.
Hold all that?
Mm-hmm. Put it in the refrigerator.
Oh, that's a good size refrigerator.
She has a pretty good size refrigerator. That's a nice refrigerator.
The trailer refrigerator?
Mm-hmm. About, I'll get the size of the one we got up here.
Size this one?
About the same size. It's an ordinary size. I said about 14 cubic foot, 14, 15.
Yeah. She can set it right smart.
Well, it's a nice refrigerator.
Well, that pretty well sees us through the week.
Yeah, it does. It'll last her just about until you get ready to come back down here. Well, since she's been down there, she's bought, she's been down there almost 3 months now, and she's bought about three or 4 gallons of milk since she's been there.
Yeah, that right. Well, that's mine. Well, now, how much you get out of milk?
About a gallon. I've been getting about a gallon and a half, and I get at the cave have about a half a gallon.
Yeah.
I've been getting about 3 gallons a day.
Golly.
Well, you
and he gets about a gallon a day almost.
You can just save up a couple of days, and that'll be enough.
Well, that's what I do. Like when she comes down on Friday. Then Saturday and Sunday, I'll save the milk and I'll put it in gallon jars.
Yeah.
And I mark the jar with a marking pen. I can save 5 gallons on Saturday and Sunday. And she'll take that milk back with her. And then the milk I saved before that, we'll use it while she's there.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. Well, they can just sort of fill up on milk too while they're home.
And then, too, she'll take back about 4 or 5 dozen eggs with her. And then when she sees she isn't going to use them all, she'll sell them to the neighbor. The old hen's only lay about a dozen a day, so today I think I got 14 eggs, and then she'll take them back with her.
Yeah.
Take some eggs back with her.
What happened to the price of eggs? They're so high there for a while, you couldn't buy
them. That's perfectly all right. Well, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it. I know they've been pretty high. Did he drop down or something?
He got to drop way down. Oh, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell.
Well, 1 week I was, one time I noticed they were what? I paid 83 cents a dozen. Well, for several weeks I had it. about that high. And now they are 42, something like that.
Is that large eggs?
Yeah.
I guess it dropped quite a bit down. Usually our chickens start laying good when the egg prices get way down. And when that price is way up there, they won't lay at all.
Yeah, that's right. Stealing that sort of setting or something.
Berman, Shirley told me, or Miss Guthrie, Miss Townsend, I always think of her as Miss Guthrie.
Yeah, I do too. I make a mistake all the time. I haven't called her Miss Guthrie yet.
You know, she seems more like Miss Guthrie to me than she's better than Miss Townsend.
Yeah.
But they'll get me one of these days.
She don't care one. That's a good cake. That's a Guthrie cake, isn't it? That's what my kids call Mrs. Guthrie's cake.
Oh, really?
The first time we ever ate one of these cakes, you know, lemon. Isn't that the, you use lemon in the ice and runs down through the cake that way? And boy, my kids are crazy about them. And the first one I ate over, I thought that was the best thing. Well, I still love them. I think they're doing good cake. I don't like them. And in fact, I prefer that to lots of these other cakes, layer cake. And, I don't like a dry cake. I like it moist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a dry cake. It feels like I'm eating cotton.
Yeah.
And my kids always call it, they didn't know what to call it, so they called it a Guthrie cake. First one they ate, they call it a Guthrie cake.
Well, anyhow, I got the idea. I just written you all off my list. I did. I'm so used to it. I know people, and first thing you know, they're gone. And I figured y'all were. You see, Shirley went down there, and the next thing I heard was that you was going too, because you could just transfer.
Well, it's not that simple always, though.
Well, I didn't know that, you see. So I said, oh, well, that winds it up.
Oh, we were sort of dumpy.
No, it's not that simple. You just don't jump up and transfer all you want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, What did you have in mind?
Well, we are thinking about transferring up there, but I'd be worse off if I transferred up there than I would if I stay down here, because then what would I do with everything down here? I leave it down here, and I got all my equipment sitting out there in the shed. No telling what would happen to it.
Well... You just have to dispose of all this up here.
Yeah, I would.
Because nobody's going to take care of your property. Like
and you just don't jump up and sell everything overnight. Not unless you want to take a licking.
Yeah.
You got to find a buyer.
Well, it wouldn't be hard to find a
buyer. Thank you. Now, you have to give me another piece.
All right, feed you up. So, when are you going to see Shirley?
Keep on eating. I won't have to eat until she gets back down here.
Well, but you could have transferred now.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know. I never did look into it.
Oh, you didn't?
I may have been able to transfer it, might not. We'd talked about it, but the reason I didn't go ahead and look into it, I wasn't too pleased with this situation up there. The expenses cost us so much.
Oh.
And two, I just couldn't see living in a trailer. It wasn't a nice trailer and everything, but I just can't see living in a trailer and cramped up on a little old lot. I couldn't see that, 100-foot lot. On a few acres. I just couldn't see on a 100-foot lot. Not even 100. It's 100 by 95.
I can see.
And that guy did his dirtiest to try to sell me that lot for $4,000. Not even a fourth of an acre.
I'm telling you that.
We had ground here, same ground here about 20 years ago. I could have bought every bit of that $10 acre. Mm-hmm. $2 and half for the ground then, what it valued at, and now you want $4,000 for it.
Yeah. Well, is that the way?
I wouldn't give him no $4,000 for it. I wouldn't even give him $1,000.
I'd hate to have to. Why would anybody have to do that, Reverend? Why couldn't you just go out here in the woods and get your acre of ground and put a trailer on it?
Well, you can't.
Well, you can get a permit, put in everything.
Well, every county is different. This county here, you gotta have 5 acres to put a mobile home on it. Unless you buy a lot in a trailer camp. You're going to have 5 acres to put a mobile home on. Now, you can put a house on an acre, but not a house trailer. And why the difference, I don't know. Now, in Orange County, you can put a house trailer on an acre. But not in Montauk County, you can't. You got to have 5 acres to put a house trailer on. Crazy law. Some of these laws are not laws, I don't think.
They don't come under the head of law and order, that sort of law.
Well, that's more dictation, I guess.
Yeah.
They tell you what to do.
Yeah.
They just tell you.
Well, I can see how they'd all have to have some little sanitation, you know, and you ought to clear with the county.
Well, you know, on a... Could you give me a little bit of water in there, please, ma'am? You know, I think as long as a person, I think an acre, if a man got an acre, he ought to be able to put a house trailer on it, if you want to. Not that I'm wanting to live in one.
Just like that?
That'd be fine. But, because I'd rather live in a house. But, it takes just as much ground to put a cesspool on for a trailer as it does for a house.
Yeah.
And I don't see what the big difference is. I think the whole thing is they're trying to squeeze house trailers out. They're trying to prevent them from parking here and there and everywhere. To a lot of people, house trailers are nothing but an eyesore. And I think they are an eyesore if you don't have them arranged right. If you just stuck them all around up and down the highways, anywhere they wanted to park a thing, they'd get to the place where they are an eyesore. And
you know what? That old trailer I've got out there, it's pretty well camouflaged now. But when I used to have it out there, I could see that in any direction, just as far off as I could see the place. And these colored people put this one over here,
mm-hmm.
And it looks like I was awful allergic to that. They stuck it up there without a bush. They didn't plant a thing up there. They got them an old power mower, lawnmower, and all they had was just wild grass. Then
and get up there and
yes.
Mow that wild grass.
They are an eyesore.
Well, they're pretty nicely built inside and everything, but they don't look the same on the outside as they do on the inside. They look like a box, what they look like. A big old long box.
Yeah.
And
just take them out the woods there and no planting around them at all.
I don't know.
I think they do too. Look like an eyesore.
But I think that was one of their reasons for passing that law. They'd rather see more homes go up than they would house trailers brought in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, you know, they just, when they decide, well, I don't like this spot here, that spot over there looks better than me, and I can get it for almost nothing, so I'll just move from here to over there, and they can do it overnight.
Yeah.
But if you got a home, if you're going to go to the trouble building a home, you're going to try to build it best you can anyhow. But house trailers are so easy to get. Go down there and make your down payment about $200 or $300, and they'll move it out there, and you're ready to move in the next day.
And they don't want it more than that.
No, because they draw that interest. They want that interest on that money.
They'd rather you wouldn't pay for
it. I'm trying to get her. I told her when she goes back, I said, when you go back today, that was Sunday, I said, first thing Monday morning, we run Ed in that paper and see if we can sell the trailer.
Well, you can sell that. What happened with that trailer that Miss Guthrie got? How did she got that, and she bought that, and she still got it?
Yeah, and she can't. You know, she's a funny bird, anyhow.
She is a funny bird.
she's very peculiar. She's always wanting people to come around. No one comes to see her. She wants someone to come and stay with her while Marvin's working. But she can't stand them for 2 or 3 days, and then she runs them off.
Yeah.
She's had different people come there and live with her. And after they're there, some of them not even there a week, and boy, she'll run them off. They'll do something that she don't like, they'll get on her nerves, and she'll run them off.
Yeah.
And she had a couple living in that trailer out there, you know. She went to the trouble to put in a cesspool and wire it up and put water and everything in there. And then these people came out there, a young couple came out there and lived. Moved in, and when Friday came around, he didn't have his rent money. He was supposed to pay her every week. She said she'd go get $50 a week rent for that trailer. That's $200 a month. I told her, I said, I know good and well she's not getting no $50 a week. She said that's what she told me, and she said I told her that didn't sound right to me either. And she said no. She said that's right. And she surely said she told Mrs. Townsend that you mean $50 a month. She said, no, sir, $50 a week. And then the week came, the guy didn't come up with the $50. I guess he was planning on paying her $50 a month is what he meant.
Yeah.
So this is not much of a trailer. It's not a very big one. It's only about 30-some feet long and about 8 feet wide. It's a little small trailer.
Yeah, like mine.
Not big. And I told her, I said, you can get a nice apartment for $200 a month in town, a darn nice one. Everything furnished. And the guy lives there, and he's in there, I think, 8 days, and she ran him off.
Yeah.
He told me, got to get out of there. She tells him right flat out, they got to go. And Curtis and his wife came out there, and they lived with him for a while. And she's, like when Shirley and I, we've been over there before, Shirley'd go in there and start helping with dishes. We went over there a couple times, I think, late dinner with her. Shirley'd get up and start trying to help her with dishes. And she'd insist that you don't help her with the dishes.
Yeah.
She'd insist. You go in there and sit down. And Shirley'd go in and start helping her anyhow, and she'd get sort of provoked about her. So Shirley'd quit. And Curtis and his wife came out there, and I told Shirley, I said, I know why she ran them off. I said, she wouldn't let Curtis's wife work, help her with the dishes and help her with the washing stuff, because I know that's how she is. She don't want to mess with her washing machine. Doesn't want to mess around the kitchen. And then she gets mad because she don't help around the kitchen. That's just what she happened. When Curtis's wife wouldn't help her, because she wouldn't let Curtis's wife help her, and then she got mad because Curtis's wife wouldn't help her. That's just what happened.
Do you reckon it was just that simple?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it could have been.
Well, it was that simple, because I've heard that heard those things going on over there. I've been over there enough to know that's what happens.
Yeah.
And I've been over there enough to know I've seen... Smith, he works over at the university. What's his name? Joe Smith. He works at the extension service over there, somewhere around the agriculture department.
Yeah.
And his wife was a school teacher. And they go over there, and I've heard her tell Shirley, I said, you know, she said, I don't know if she called that girl by her name, I don't remember what her first name is. Smith's wife, she won't hit me in the dishes, she won't do this. She just go in there and sit down. And they used to come out there nearly every Sunday, and they still come out there all the time.
Yeah.
And I went over there a couple of times, and she'd get up and try to help Mrs. Townsend with the dishes, and she wouldn't let her. She'd get her by the arm and push her right in the front room. You're not going to help me. You go in there and sit down.
Yeah.
And,
that's that nice.
And then she'd tell me, and sure that darn, she won't help me in my dishes. She come over and eat and all that, but she won't help me with the dishes.
Oh, you, Well, you heard that.
Yeah, I know it, and I figure, well, if it goes that way with one person, it'll go that way with the rest of them.
Let me see. Shirley, I heard Shirley mention this. I think it was somebody. She said that that first couple, they that they bought the trailer for.
Yeah.
She said that little girl laid in bed all day.
That's what I was telling you about. That's Curtis's wife.
That's Curtis's wife.
Yeah.
Now, Curtis is a good worker.
Yeah, and she is too. I imagine she'd let her work.
Well, they had a television and a radio, an electric guitar. But the thing that seemed to impress Miss Guthrie more than anything else was this bebop. What does she call it? This stereo.
Yeah. Stereo. This, I don't know. What did you get it or going to get it? I don't know what it was.
And that's the thing, the impression I got, that's what got her goose, was that stereo. I forget what they call it, a stereo or...
Oh, something other. Was that the one she was going to get free?
She had it there and played it all the time.
That must have been...
Records.
Yeah, I know, that must be the one she got. She came running
in.
She came in there one day, she said, guess what, I want a new stereo. And but the catch was, they sent us one of them things through the mail. He sent us one on about a sewing machine one time, and that hadn't been too long ago, about 6 or 8 months ago. And they try to think everybody's stupid enough to fall for that stuff, you know. Well, a lot of them do fall for it, and a lot of them knows better, and they go ahead and fall for it anyhow. But the whole catch was, you got to buy so many records, you get the stereo free. But you got to buy so many records, you got to buy one or two a month or something like that for so many years. By the time you get through with it, you'll probably have $1,000 in the records.
Oh, I see.
That's the catch.
Yeah.
You got it free.
That's the catch.
And here, I know here 6 or 8 months ago we got a thing in the mail. Oh, congratulations, you just won a new sewing machine. Absolutely free. All you have to do is go here. All I had to do is go to Waldo and pick it up. Just go and take my slip in there and get in there and pick it up. Then you read on down through there. The whole thing was, I had to pay for service charges on the sewing machine for so many years. And I had to make payments each month on that service charge, which came to about $8 or $9 a month, service charges. Can you imagine service charges on a sewing machine for $8, $9 a month for how many years was that? 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
Well, Berman, I never heard of it.
My dad neither, but we got one through the mail. They give you all, they got all kind of gimmicks and tricks and everything. I know it does. It does me too. And you're always getting that stuff in the mail. Some way to take you for a ride.
Well, now, the reason she filed up on that title was she was in such a hurry.
Yeah. I never would have... Now, see, she hadn't got the title of that trailer yet. She still don't have the title of that trailer.
That's the reason she still got it sitting there.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay him one red cent until he got me a title. I told him get his title ready, and then you and I would talk turkey.
Yeah. Why, she just got... She just handed in the money.
As far as that goes, the trailer might even not belong to him at all. It might be someone else's name, someone else's trailer.
Well, where was Marvin?
He was right there with her, and he does what she says does. He's a little poodle dog. She tells him what to do. She tells him which way to go when he goes out the door, and what to do when he gets out the door. And he tells him what time to go to bed and what time to get up in the morning. She's boss over there.
He would have made money if he could have just helped out a little bit on that. Because that's worrisome when you've got all your money in a thing and can't get the title.
She paid, I think she said $1,000 for that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went over and looked at it. And she's wanting to sell the thing. We went over and looked at it. Well, it looks bigger than it does. From the road, it looks bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You get up there to it, you can see it's not
yeah.
near as big as it is. We got over there and looked at it, and well, right away, I saw it wasn't going to suit our cause.
Yeah.
It might be art just for two people.
Yeah.
But not with five kids. I don't know where they'd do, where they'd go at, too. And when they got in the thing, they'd all have to sit down and behave themselves. So if someone moved or something other, someone would get kicked in the mouth. So I saw right away I didn't want it.
How was the plumbing and all in it? Did you look at that?
I didn't examine nothing very close, but I saw there had to be a lot of repairs done in it.
Oh,
really? Yeah, this needed fixing, that needed fixing, the molding stuff in the trailer needed fixing.
All they done is just put a new carpet in
it. Yeah, I guess so. I think it had a pretty good carpet in there as well as I know, but I don't know how the floor was under the carpet.
Well, I'm going to tell me, how is it, you like it up there at the university for a change?
Yeah, I like it pretty well up there. Not bad. At least, over there where I'm at, I'm my own boss, so no one bothers me. I do the work as I want to. I do pick out the work I want to do. And I don't have so much work to do that I can't do it. I got plenty of time to do it. And I'm not out in the hot sun nothing all day. I'm right there in a good cool room.
Well, that's nice for a change.
And it's not strenuous work or anything. It's not like out digging a ditch in the hot sun. That would get old after in a little bit, you know, but this work always something different all the time.
Oh, is it? You learn and, you know, do something different all the time? It's not just monotonous.
Well, you have something to do different. Lots of that work, yeah. I guess you'd sort of dread doing some of it, but it's
what,
not bad.
What sort of work is it?
Like jobs I hate to do there more than anything, going up there during countertops, kitchen sink. Those countertops are two-piece tops like this right here.
Yeah.
So you got a divider back. It's not one solid board.
Yeah.
And those they're all on flake board, and the water is run down in behind the sink. They're all perfectly level. The water will run down in behind. And that flake board starts coming apart and you get swept for so long. Next thing you know, the sink's about ready to fall through the countertop.
Yeah.
And I have to go over there and order a new countertop, measure them. Not all of them the same length, they're all different lengths.
Yeah.
They run from anywhere from 6 feet to almost 8 feet. And then we have to order them. It takes maybe 6 weeks, 2 months to get one. It's not too bad to put one in. After you put two or three in, you get used to it. It takes me about 2 hours to put one in. About a 2 hour job. Take the whole sink and everything out, and then cut the hole in the new top, put it back in there, and cork it down and everything. It's about a 2 hour job.
Well, that just be sort of clay.
Well, most of that work you do there, it doesn't take over 10 or 15 minutes to do a job. Lots of it's like, leaking spigots or changing switches or shorts, or maybe have to do some work on the stove or refrigerator or something like that. Or else mom might have a busted window, you gotta replace the windows if someone knocks the windows out.
Oh, I see. That's just sort of glorified maintenance.
And sometimes,
you know, they ought to be good money in maintenance.
Well, I guess there is.
I mean, couldn't a fella get a job maintenance for these? You wouldn't have to work for the university.
Well, you know, you've seen these, all these villages, not just state, these projects and stuff around town, you know, where you see the apartments.
Yeah.
See, they all, some of them have 400 units in there. Well, see, they have maintenance men of their own.
Yeah.
It does the same thing I do.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they pay those guys, nothing, but But I bet you one nickel, one thing, nickel or donut, but I bet you they don't sit around like I do sometimes. I bet you when they're working for one of them outfits, they're on a go 8 hours solid. And they got someone breathing down their neck every day. Over where I'm at, I don't see my supervisor. Oh, sometimes I might see him once a month or maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And when he comes around, he's real nice and he talks a few minutes and leaves. And I won't see him again in maybe 2 or 3 more months.
Well,
as long as I do my work, I don't hear nothing from him. I don't have no trouble with him. But I guess if I started to falling down my work there and my work orders would stack up like that and everybody started complaining about him, I imagine he'd be over there right away. But no one has never complained about me over there as I know of since I've been working there. I'm going on there 4 years now. It don't seem like I've been there that long.
Well, you haven't been there that long.
I'm going on 4 years this month. The 5th of May I was there 3 years.
Well, that's hard to believe.
It doesn't seem like it. The time goes fast there.
Boy, it does.
I went to work there 3 years ago this past May the 5th.
Yeah.
I'm going on 4 years there.
Well, there's a lot of nice fellas working over there, if you had a chance, you know, to run into them.
Yeah, well, I'm getting so I get acquainted with more and more people every day over there.
Oh, do you?
And, they're pretty nice. I've never have had no trouble. Every once in a while, I run into a screwball over there.
Yeah.
But best way I found out a long time ago, you know, you do think different than you would 20, 30 years ago. 20, 30 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I'd probably flown off the handle and done something I didn't want to do. But now I just, some of these students, so you get some smart ones in there that lives in the project, housing project there.
Yeah.
Well, you get some crummy ones in there once in a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are foreigners, they're exchange students. And a lot of them can't even speak a word of English hardly.
Yeah.
And what they're doing over here, I don't know. Look like me, they ought to be able to speak a little English anyhow. And they get in there and it seemed like they demand things. They want this done. They want it done now. They want it done before anyone else. They don't want to take their turn, wait their turn in line to get anything done. They want it done right now.
Well, do you have any time? You've got plenty of time to do things out at your place.
Well, when I get home.
Yes.
When I get home. You know, like it is now, see, since they moved the time back the way they did, and which gives me, I get home all 4:45 or somewhere around there, and see, here it is now, about 3 o'clock, and not dark yet. So I can almost get over about three and a half hours working, but you know, I'll spend a couple hours doing my chores around there.
Yeah.
But like when Shirley was here, the only thing I had to do then was just milk the cow. Now I got to take care of crazy guinea pigs and that crazy squirrel and the crazy monkey and all the chickens, water and feed them, take care of the cats and all those pets and stuff. By the time I get through with them, I've got a couple hours killed.
You mean they didn't take all them guinea pigs?
No, they're all out there. I'm thinking I got that blame monkey, that little squirrel. I got a cat with 5 kittens and a dog. I got that, all them chickens and ducks and everything around there. I got all that to take care of. By the time I water and feed all them,
it'd be too bad if they just accidentally get loose, wouldn't it?
Well, that'd be real bad. But that darn monkey, I don't want him loose.
Yeah.
You can't chase him off.
Yeah.
He stands right at the door and waits for someone to open the door so he can run inside. He won't run off. You can't run that son of a gun off.
Yeah.
That darn monkey.
Well, Bubba, let me tell you, I ask you questions like I never would see you again. This fella, you were going to get out of some of the responsibility out there by having this fella Pinner out there.
Yeah.
He was going to take some of your pasture?
Yeah. He's going to rent that pasture on where the melons was when the melons gets off and... Well, on the weatherboard's on the right hand side of the lane from the house, he's renting that.
Yeah.
field out in front of the house. I was going to keep that because I wanted to disc that and sod that thing in bahia grass.
Yeah.
I was going to keep that. And then I wanted to get some more caves and stuff and get some more caves going out there. And, well, that deal didn't last long.
Yeah.
And
now, nobody expected that to happen,
though, did
they?
No one. And he was, everybody really liked him. I never knew him very well. But I always liked him. I always heard good about him.
You knew his daddy?
I knew his dad real good.
Yeah.
And I knew his brother was dying. He had one brother that retired from the Army. He spent 20 years in the Army and retired. His brother, he was, in fact, the one that died, he was the youngest one of the boys. He had both his brothers older than him.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just something happened there. He just upped and died. And he was a pretty good sized man. He must have been about 6'3", I guess.
Was he?
Yeah, he's about 6'3", and he must have weighed about 235, I guess. He wasn't fat enough. He was a pretty good man. And
was he a capitalist enough to get enough animals to put on out there?
He
had to fertilize.
Well, when he died there, he'd moved in. From the time he had his heart attack, he didn't have nothing out there. Just when he got to the hospital, he moved in, I think, about 23 head.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he up and died, and then they come and got them, moved them out, took them to the market and sold them. In fact, he told his wife, if anything ever happened to him, he wanted her to get rid of all them cows.
Yeah.
Well, she's already got rid of them.
Yeah.
You gotta take care of that. She said she didn't know anything about cows anyhow. But the Pinners over there, all the Pinners, they've always had cows just about all their life. In fact, the old man, that's his dad. His dad is, I think he's 81 now, Mr. Pinner. His mother and dad are both still living. And she's about the same age as Mr. Pinner. She's about 80.
But the boys, they got all the land they need?
Well, I wouldn't say they got all they need. I don't know what they got, frankly. Mr. Pinner, I think he owned about 120 acres or something like that. Maybe 160 out there where he lives. He lives east of Island Grove, right down to the, you know, that paved road that runs right through Island Grove there.
Yeah.
He lives all the way down to the dead end of it.
Yeah.
On the right, last house on that road. But they've always seemed like very, very nice people.
Well, you can go ahead with your hay business.
Oh, yeah, but my problem is now I'm going to have to plant more hay. I'm going to have a job this summer, I mean. But I can't plant no hay until we get some rain.
No.
And I can't plant no hay until I get some growing. I got to get that pangola growing again before I can plant anything. And them worms last year just killed it out, just about it. What I want to do, I'm going to get in there and fertilize some of that and get it growing again.
Well, tell me about them worms.
Well, they went down the ground and killed it. They killed, I guess they must have killed at least half my hay out. They hit it in spots out there and knocked that whole spot out. Maybe 2 or 3 acres in one spot. And
they go down in the ground?
Yeah, in the daytime they go down the ground. Nighttime they come out.
Oh.
And it rained. I couldn't spray, I couldn't dust, I couldn't do nothing.
Oh, it's hard. It just rained all the time.
And you can't spray them worms as long as it's raining, because it just washes it off and down the ground. Don't hurt them. You gotta have a pause there somewhere before you can spray them. And I had this guy came out from Newberry, sprayed them. I had him spray them twice. It cost me $300 to spray those worms. He cost me $150 each time he sprayed.
Good Lord.
And then I lost about half my grass. I think last year, I think I put up 1,600 bales of hay out of that field. And usually, I've been getting about 3,200, 3,300.
Yeah.
Now, I got just about half the hay of what I usually get.
Well, just half a stem won't do you any good.
No, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to go back in there and replant it.
Because you can't fertilize half a stem.
No, if you go out there and fertilize, you're going to have to fertilize the whole thing. And if you're going to fertilize, you can't fertilize a little piece here and a little piece there. You run and go crazy trying to fertilize.
Well, look, Herman, that's pangola.
Yeah. Now, my coastal over there, I only had about 5 acres of coastal Bermuda. on the south side of my field as you're going in, you know? Yeah. Just a little spot there, about 5 acres. Now, they didn't hurt that. That stuff is coming on out through there.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes like what I ought to do is go on in there and fertilize that good and heavy and go out there and plant some more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it up about like that and mow the heck out of it, take it out there and scatter it and disc it in.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I feel like doing.
That's right.
But the whole darn trouble is scattering the stuff. If I could borrow me a manure spreader,
yeah,
that's what a lot of these dairymen do.
Yeah.
They'll get them a manure spreader. The guy there at where I came from, he'd go out there with his hay baler and bale that stuff up green.
Yeah.
Pull a manure spreader behind the wagon, and he'd throw the hay into the manure spreader. And you know what? Yeah. So they cut the bales and throw the pieces of bales over the manure spreader. You know, it has a conveyor belt, runs the chain, runs all the time, running in the manure spreader, goes to the back.
Yeah.
And then you got these forks that goes like this inside the spreader, and then it throws back in another set of forks.
Yeah.
It'll throw that hay everywhere. And that's what he was doing. He was doing 20 or 30 acres a day planting that way. They didn't throw out a single sprig by hand. What he was doing,
I never thought of that.
Mr. Hyatt done.
That hand
worked.
He planted
200 or 300 acres there in, I guess, about 2 weeks. And he did it with just a couple men. And he was taking a manure spreader. He had a man on the tractor with a mucilage cutter. You know when he was thinking of cutting the mucilage and blow it over into the wagon?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was cutting it with, and he'd blow it over in the manure spreader.
Yeah.
He had one wagon hooked up to the... another one tractor and one mucilage cutter hooked up to another tractor, and he'd fill that wagon up and then turn around, go back out in the field and scatter it, come back and get another load. But see, you got to have two men to do that. You got to have one man on each tractor, because he's got to keep that manure spreader right up with the mucilage cutter, because it's moving all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's the way that he did that, and he was doing around 15, 20 acres a day there, sometimes maybe 30 acres in one day.
Yeah.
He'd get that stuff spread, and I'll tell you, that's a job. You start putting it out by hand. I planted part, I had one field that died out over there on me, and I planted it over again, and I went over there, he gave me that grass, I went over and cut it and hauled it on a wagon, and that was really a job, putting that grass out.
Yeah.
You go over there and get you a great big armful of it, and he go out and take the stuff, sprinkle it around, and keep on walking and sprinkling that stuff. And worst part about it, you got to walk on old soft ground, plowed ground, you know.
Yeah.
And walking on that damn plowed ground is enough to kill you.
Yeah.
If you solid ground like that out there is bad enough, but you start walking on that old squishy ground and the armful of hay, green hay, and it gets over for a day's over with, and then you wind up work all day long. You've only done a couple acres.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes, I know that. Doing this by hand, that's slow business.
My dad, he planted 20 acres there in Orlando, but the way he planted that, he bought the grass from a guy that charged him, I think he charged him $5 a load for it, I think it was. And they would cut it and load it for him. And he had a dump truck. He'd haul it in the dump truck. And he hired, well, I couldn't help him then. I was busy then at that time. I couldn't help him, so... He got him a couple boys that lived next door there. They'd go down in the field with him. He had a tractor and bush and bog down there. He cut the ground up with the bush and bog. He never did put a disc on it. He cut that with bush and bog. And he got that old dump truck and raised the dump up just a little bit so it wouldn't be hard to throw out. He put those two boys on the back of that dump truck. And they'd sit back here and throw it out, one on one side and one on the other side, and just throw it out. And he just kept on driving, and after he get it out, he'd unload that load, he'd disc that much in, go get him another dump truck full.
Yeah.
And he planned it in a couple of days there, I guess.
Well, how do you disc it? How do you set your disc?
Do it as deep as you can.
Oh.
I set that disc just like I'd go on a disc of grove.
Well, do you straighten it out or crook
it? Well, see, I have an offset disc. I have a grove disc, offset disc. That's one that goes like
that.
Oh,
yeah,
And that's what I use. And
well, it won't go deep.
Well, it will if you let it. It'll go down about 6 inches.
Oh,
yeah, it's going down. But
well, what about just a regular?
Now, what my dad used when he put his in, he just used a bush and bog and he ran it straight. You know, it and
straighten it out.
Yeah, just run the thing straight, and the thing had enough weight that on it. You know, the thing is so heavy, and no, it only has 8 blades on it. It just pushed the grass right down the ground.
Yeah.
But what I did, I just took it and disc it in the ground with a disc.
Yeah.
So I got the same results.
Well, now that's what I was thinking about. I got this old hair out here. I shifted it all around so that I could straighten out the disc.
Uh-huh.
And I cut this bahia grass that way.
Yeah.
And then when I fertilized it, I cut it in like that.
Uh-huh.
Or lime it, I cut it in. But the trouble with that is you can't cut it in. You can't mess with it in dry weather.
No, huh? If you go down there, if I go down there now and plowed my panko, I'd kill every sprig in there.
Yeah.
I'd kill every bit of it. I gotta have to wait in wet weather to go in there and do anything.
Yeah.
If I wait in wet weather to go in there, it'd really do it good.
Yeah. Well, now that's it. And you know, that makes it right tricky in the spring of the year when you want to lime or fertilize or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there and cut it in, and you get the next month dry. And
well, one year, when was it? I think about 3 years ago, I went in there and decided, well, I'm going to fertilize hay from hay field now and wait about another month to fertilize other hay. Well, I did that. I fertilized hay for it. Well, it had plenty of moisture and got a couple good rains on it. Boy, that really took off. That grass really took off when I fertilized it. Well, it rained for about a week there, and it stopped. No more rain.
Yeah.
Then I waited about a month to fertilize the rest of it. Well, by that time, the ground had got bone dry. I went ahead and fertilized it, and it didn't rain, and it didn't rain. It didn't rain for about 3 months.
Yeah.
And that fertilizer just laid there on the ground until frost came.
Yeah.
It never did rain. Frost came before it rained. And, you know, it didn't grow a single bit. It didn't grow. That grass didn't grow that much. In fact, it looked like a fire went through it.
Yeah.
And the other side there where I'd fertilized, that grass was up like that.
Yeah.
That's the difference it made with rain.
Yeah.
It just didn't rain on that last one. I just lost that fertilizer and lost the hay too.
Oh, I'm telling you, that rain can really just trip you.
That rain, it rains everything. If you don't have that rain on that pasture, it just won't grow. And that's the trouble when the last part of spring comes around, or summer, you start getting all those summer rains, you know, and about before fall comes. It rains and it rains. It don't know when to quit raining.
Yeah.
It just keeps on raining. That's when the army worms come.
Oh.
Army worms, you don't see no army worms right now.
Yeah.
If it, this time of year, you never see no army. The army worms usually come out around August. But right now you wouldn't have no armyworm. Around August, the armyworm starts coming out. And them darn things, they'll eat up everything inside. I never had the first worm down there in Orlando.
Yeah. Wait just
that
second, and we'll go out there.
Some of your water there.
Yeah. Oh.
I certainly enjoyed the supper and.
Well, you don't have to go.
No, he wants to go outside and show me something, Mother.
Oh. What can we do about Shirley? Helping her around here. She gonna come? When's she gonna get back?
Well, she's coming back this weekend, but she won't be back to stay until about the 5th.
She got another month, she said.
Just about. I think you got 3 more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 more weeks of school.
And then she's going to be here this summer.
She's going to be here, period.
Period. Well.
You think she's going back to Hawthorne?
That's where I'm going to put them. I'm going to put them back over and having the trouble
I'm going to take them out of there. I'll do something else. But I'm just hoping we don't have no trouble.
But heavens, Birmingham got a tutor. Get somebody
to
teach.
Yeah, but they're in trouble. Everything costs money.
Yes, and once you get out of the system irregular, it's tedious.
Yeah, I know it is. It's not so simple getting them back in the groove again.
Yeah. Robert, let me ask you one thing. Cares, how many cares would you have to make a good income over there? Now, what I was thinking, you know, at one time you had a lot of cows.
Yeah.
And you had enough hay there to furnish that end of the county. And that neighbor of yours, what is it?
Mrs. Gleason?
Gleason.
Which one? You mean the one that had the Angus cows?
Yeah, right next to you.
Yeah, Mrs. Gleason.
Well, she had a whole lot of land there, didn't she?
Well, I wouldn't say a whole lot. She had about, I think she had 240 acres. But it was all cleared. Nearly everything she had was cleared.
A lot of pasture.
Out of the 240 acres, I guess she had about 220 of it in pasture.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, and she had a pretty good herd herself.
Well, she had, well, see, I was taking care of them when I started working at the university.
Yes.
And she had out there, well, she had, I think, 80-some cows. And she had this guy, this preacher over here from Archer. He came out there and took care of them the year before I did.
Oh.
He took her for a ride on those cows.
But he just didn't know anything about
it? No, he's not that. He just took advantage of her. And what he did, Preacher Bowles, he's over from Archer.
I've heard the name.
And he came over there and we're going to take care of cows. Well, she's around 80 years old, but this was about 7 years ago when he took care of them.
Yeah.
And well, she just wasn't able to go out there and do that kind of work. You know, she had a bad heart, and she couldn't take the sun or anything, so she had to find someone to take care of them.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to mess with him. I had enough to do, so she found that preacher. Well, she knew him to start with.
Yeah.
In fact, he's somehow or another, he's related to her through marriage somehow or another. I think his brother and his cousin or brother or someone had married her daughter at one time. It was her first husband or something. It was somehow or another she knew him. But anyhow, he went out there and he was all anxious. He's going to take care of him and this and everything. So she talked to him and they got the agreement, got together and everything on it. And she was to put $5,000 in the bank for him to work on. Well, he didn't have no money, so she put $5,000 in the bank. So they put it in his and her account, put it together as a joint account, for either one could check on. And I think they called it the B&G account, Bowles and Gleason. I think it was the way they put it. Well, the following week, he wound up and wrote him out a check and got him a new Plymouth. bought him a brand new car with the money. So that's what took care of nearly all the $5,000. So that wasn't bad enough. He decided, well, they had to have feed and everything. So here he was buying feed, charging it to the B&G account, and he had him a bunch of horses and hogs over here at Archer. He was sending the feed over there and feeding them with the feed that supposed to went to her place. And then he decided, well, she needed the cows culled out. So he'd pick the best cows out and take them to the market and get some old sorry cows and bring them back and replace them. And he wouldn't feed the cows. He was buying hay and stuff. Instead of hay going over here, it was going over there. And at the end of the summertime, by the time fall came, the cows were nothing but skin and bone. She lost a couple of cows and starved to death out there. He wasn't taking care of them. He just feeding her a big long line. He took care of them, I guess. He only had them about 9 months. And he took her for about, I think she figured somewhere around $12,000-$15,000. And he decided he was going to come in time to sell the calves. The agreement was that he was take care of the cows for half the calves. His brother had 80 calves. He got 40, and she got 40.
Well, that's the way you were going to do
it. Yeah, well, that's the way I did. I took care of him 1 year. And he decided he was, well, first to start with, he sold 20 or 30 cows out there. And brought somewhere around $3,000 or $4,000 those cows did. And he pocketed the money. It went to the account, all right, but he turned around, wrote a check out, and took it all out. And then he decided it's time to sell the calves, and by that time she got on to him, and what his scheme was. So she got her lawyer and saw the sheriff and everything. They told her to put a lock on the gate and tell him to keep out. So that's what she did.
Yeah.
Well, he told her he's going in there and he's going to get them calves. And he told her if you put a lock on there, you're going to cut it and take go in there and get the calves anyhow. You know how some people are, especially preachers. But he's gonna show her that he was the boss. He's gonna get. But she got him a chain and a lock and put in there, and the sheriff told her that if he goes in there and cuts that lock, she could have him arrested. So I think her son, she had some people, different people, stood guard out there. But he came up there two or three times with a big old truck to go in there, and a lock was on the gate, and he wouldn't go in. And he'd do that early in the morning before daylight. He drove up there. And he's going to get those caves anyhow. He had about 80-something caves in there. He's going to take those caves to market and get the money out of them. But then after she got rid of him, she had to go to court with him and everything to get her money out of him. And she had to put, she finally got her money out of him, but I think she had to take out a lien and everything on his property and on his home and everything. But she got her money. He got around $12,000 or something out of him. But he had to cough it up. Yeah, she got her lawyer and got a hold of him. The lawyer got a hold of him. But then she wanted me to take care of him. That was about a year before I started working at the university, so I went over there. And like a darn fool, I went over there and worked and worked and worked. Straightening up the pasture and cutting up all them old dead oaks laying down the ground, boiling them and burning them.
Yeah.
I took the tractor and disc, went over there, and I disced her whole ground. I mowed it one time. And the cows were so skinny, it took a year to bring them back out of it again.
Yeah.
And when Ben Arnold bought the cows were real good and fat. About a year after I got it.
Yeah.
But they'd only had about 40 calves. Only had about half a calf crop. Because the cows was just so skinny, they just wouldn't have no calves.
Yeah.
So I wound up with 20 calves, and I only got $50 a piece. Where I'm only got, I got I think $1,050 something like that. But I figured I did more work than that on the place.
Yeah.
And I had to feed the cows hay every afternoon, and I had in fact even stored her hay on my place over there because she didn't have no place to keep it.
Yeah.
And but I didn't make nothing.
Well, the prospect, though, is what I was thinking about. You could have worked into something there with a pretty good income, as I thought at the time.
Well, I could have.
Without putting out all the money. She could have put out the money.
Well, she didn't put out nothing. Me, I told her that I didn't even need no money to work on. I said, I don't need no $5,000 in the bank.
Well, I mean, buy all the cows.
Well, she already had them, see.